Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us just ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 6. And let me prepare our board right up here. Praise God. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Adding to Your Faith. Adding to Your Faith. And so, my friends, before we start reading the scriptures, the purpose for 2 Peter was to allow the Christians at that time to let them be aware of false teachers. There were false teachers throughout the apostles' time, and they would creep in and they would bring these erroneous type of doctrines, teachings, heresies. And so Peter wrote a second epistle to the church indicating that to be aware, to be alert, to not receive everything that these Judaizers and these false teachers would bring to the table of God. And so I am very thankful that many of the apostles heard from the Holy Spirit and they would warn the people of things to come. Later on in 2 Peter, we're going to read about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how all the elements of the world will be one day just melted away by fire. Oh yeah, there's a lot of things that we're going to be reading regarding 2 Peter. And who was the author? Obviously, it was Peter. And the audience was the church at large and the church for today. So 2,000 years later, everything that we're reading, it pertains to us. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that everything that was spoken by Jesus and the apostles regarding the end days, it's all culminating. It's all happening at once. It's converging. And so we are in one of the greatest times of history right now, you and I. We're called for such a time as this. We're called to preach the gospel. Paul said it best, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, and then to us Gentiles. Praise God. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to be filled with the power of God. We got to remain humble and sanctified, set apart, and we must be mightily used in these days that we live in. This is a time to stand for the things of God. This is a time, my friends, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, to preach a word of knowledge, to preach a word of wisdom. Oh yes, there's many men and women right now, friends and family, in the church, outside of the church, that need us. And you are very important, those of you who have logged in, those of you that love the Word of God. This is a time now when there's chaos in the world. And one of the things that I'm seeing now that's very, very, very hurtful to the body of Christ, that there are many divorces and remarriages, divorces and remarriages. My friends, this is a time to truly take self-inventory and to trust God, to believe God. We're living in times of violence, where there's so much violence in the world. Everything that you watch on television is violent. The news is very violent. There's mass shootings every day. Wow. There's earthquakes in various places. We're living right now in the times that what these men and women wrote about thousands of years ago, and it's now coming to pass. And so, my friends, I'm excited to start this new study in 2 Peter chapter 1. So with that said, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 6. And I've entitled this evening's message, Adding to Your Faith. Adding to Your Faith. Praise God. Here we go. And it reads, Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith, and with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God, praise God. Verse 5 and verse 6. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. This is where I got the topic tonight, adding to your faith. What are we adding? Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness, praise God. So, let's go back to verse 1, and it reads, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, in contrast to 1 Peter 1:1, this letter begins with the same name, Simon Peter. The different form of the name may merely have to do with the different writers who recorded Peter's words as he wrote this letter. You see, my friends, Peter had been one of Jesus' 12 disciples and one of the three with James and John, to whom Jesus had given special training. He often acted as a spokesman for the disciples, praise God, and sometimes being rebuked for not thinking before he spoke. The story of Peter's denial of Jesus and later restoration by him were well known to the early church, my friends. Peter identified himself first as a slave, meaning one who is subject to the will and wholly at the disposal of his master. Praise God, praise God. Peter used the term to express his absolute devotion and subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to perceive this no different with our lives. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the title apostle designated his apostolic position as leader and one of the original 12 disciples. Praise God, praise God. Look what I found here in Matthew to clarify. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew's brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Praise God. But there he is, Peter. There he is. And look what else I found in John 20, 21 through 23. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Did you catch that? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are what? Retained. Wow, wow. You see, saints, it also designated authority to set up and supervise churches and discipline them if necessary. Even more than a title of authority, saints, the apostle means one sent on a mission, like an envoy or an ambassador. Praise God. Peter and the other apostles had been chosen, called, and given the authority and responsibility to evangelize the entire world. Oh yes, look what I found here in Romans. In Romans chapter 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called what? To be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Peter, he wrote to believers who shared the same precious faith he and other apostles had. Faith given to them by Jesus Christ, the God and Savior of our being, of our, hallelujah, Lord and Savior. The same Jesus that they were with is the same Jesus that saved you and I, praise God. You see, my friends, Peter reassured that these believers, that there was that their faith was equal to the faith of the apostles. You've heard me say this many times. In the kingdom of God, there are no big I's and little U's. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get an amen? And so, my friends, it was just as precious, just as sure. For it was faith in God and Jesus Christ, who, by his death, made people right with God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Praise God, praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want you to catch that key word, the knowledge. The knowledge, saints. You see, the first part of Peter's greeting here is identical to 1 Peter. He wished them God's special favor, unmerited by people, but freely given by God. And peace, referring to the peace, referring that God made peace between sinners and God. Aren't you so blessed? You and I are no longer at war with God. That God, hallelujah, was the bridge. It was the cross that we humbly came and surrendered our life and gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have peace with God. We're not at war with God. Hallelujah. How many so blessed at home to know that you're at peace with God? Praise God, praise God. Look what I found here in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's so many people in the church and outside of the church that are just like that proverb. That's right, they despise instruction. You try to teach them and point them God's way, they'd rather have a Burger King life. They'd rather have it their way. But there's no other way. There's only the Bible way. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Listen, those of you right now who are struggling in their faith, I believe the struggle is not the circumstance. The struggle is a lack of knowledge and understanding of His Word. Because once you understand the mind of God, once you understand the precepts, once you apply the biblical principles to your life, God will give you peace through your storm. God will show you His grace and His mercy, that you're able to go through the storm with Him. Before we got saved, we were going through storms without Him. But now there's no other excuse. He's with us. He's with you. Look what else I found here in another Proverbs. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Seeks knowledge, saints. You see, the persecuted and suffering believers may have been feeling very little favor and an absence of peace during this time this epistle was written. But Peter, he reassured them that both favor and peace could be theirs. Praise God. Could be yours, could be mine as well. 2,000 years later, can I get an amen? You see, my friends, Peter was concerned that the believer's faith remained sound and steadfast. Oh, that's right. Only by getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ better and better could they remain faithful in the face of false teachers. It's basically a theme of this letter. The false teachers that would creep in, that would spew in lies. My goodness, it's no different than what's happening today with the prosperity teachers, with the claim it and proclaim it. There's people that are still praying for their VW Volkswagen Bug to turn into a Cadillac in their garage. They keep opening the door, praying that miraculously something is going to change that those molecules into a caddy. My friends, that's tempting God. And I know that we pray and ask God for impossible things, but it's only to bring Him glory and honor. Hallelujah. He doesn't get any glory in all that stuff that these false teachers preach. He gets glory, hallelujah, when you lay hands on the sick and they recover. He gets glory when you give someone a word of wisdom and knowledge and they change direction and then they start living the better life. When you counsel those who are going sideways and upside down and they take heed to the scriptures and they look at God's way as better than their way, and that you were just a facilitator, you were a hand that God used at that time. My friends, the church today abroad has been an apostate condition. They have left the faith. They have left the things of God. They no longer read their Bibles. They no longer fast and pray. My friends, those of you that are plugged in, logged in right now, is because you love the Lord. It's because you love God. It's because you want to grow in your faith. Continue to grow. Continue to read. Continue to apply the scriptures to your life. Why? Because that will enrich you. That'll strengthen you. That will spiritually cause you to walk like the patriots of old. They walked in faith and not in sight. Did they go through fears and phobias? Yes. Did they have anxiety? Did they have sicknesses? Yes. And so do we. But I'm here to let you know that He that is in the world, the one that's in you, is greater. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. And God could do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Praise God. Praise God. You see, but knowledge, my friends, must not remain static. That is, believers must not have knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Their knowledge must lead to changed behavior or godliness, as explained in the next verse. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go there right now. Now, we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at that. Just take a look at what it reads here, my friends. As His divine power, that's the key, His divine power has given to us all that pertain to life and what? Godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I need you to catch that for a moment, saints, before I change that screen. His divine power. You see, Jesus' divine power, or the divine power that Jesus shares with God, is the power well known to believers, for it raised Christ from the dead. Praise God. And the word us refers to all believers. Peter, the other apostles, and so on, and all readers of this letter, praise God. You see, my friends, Christ's power manifests itself in the lives of Christians, for that power gives believers everything we need for living a godly life. Can I get an amen? The power to grow doesn't come from within us, but from God Himself. And because we don't have the resources to live as He requires, God gives us everything we need. For what? For godly living. To keep us from sin. And to help us live. For whom? For Him. For the Lord Jesus. Godly means moral uprightness and honoring of God. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found here in Isaiah. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Look at this. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power, there you go, to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Praise God, praise God. Look at verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, say that with me, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Look at what else I found in 2 Corinthians here. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also, say that with me at home, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the phrase, he has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. Saints, it explains what attracts people to Jesus in the very first place. Jesus' glory, the impact of who he is, and his splendor and his goodness, also translated moral excellence, which means draw sinful seeking people to him. Praise God. Listen, we were all sick. We were all sinners when we were drawn to the cross. Can I get an amen? Oh, you know my testimony. I know yours. Oh, man, I'm telling you, we needed Jesus. We needed a Savior. Can I get an amen? Praise God that he saved a wretch like me. Oh, amazing grace. That song, Amazing Grace. How he saved a wretch like us. Praise God. And so, saints, when they come to Christ, they have access to the knowledge they need in order to live for him. Praise God. And called means that believers are chosen. For more on chosen, they are called to salvation and to live for God. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, remember, we read this in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, you are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be what? Multiplied. Praise God. Look what else I found here. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in what? All your conduct. I'm going to pause right there. You know, there's one thing of reading the scriptures, and then there's another subject to that of applying the scriptures. If God is saying, be ye holy, for I am holy, it doesn't mean that it gives us a license to sin. We need to be obedient to what Jesus requires of our life. Do we love him enough? Do we believe him enough to follow his ways? Or do we just have a Burger King life, having it my way? Oh, there's people like that. Many, many people like that. Let's move on now to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Look at this. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Wow. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Through lust. Wow, saints. You see, through Jesus' divine power, Christ also has given to you and I, all of us, his rich and wonderful promises. And what are these promises? Since you ever asked yourself that? Well, see, when Christ came, he made promises of the new messianic age. Peter referred to Christ's second coming, the new heavens and the new earth, and believers welcome into Christ's kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. These are wonderful promises. Look what else I found here in Romans. Look at this. So then, in Romans 8 through 11, look at this. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Say that with me at home. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That means you've been born again. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise God. Look at this in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's Holy Ghost power. That's Holy Ghost power. Saints, Christ will help his people escape the decadence all around the world caused by evil desires. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, I want you to see this for a moment. I want you to catch this. For the agnostics at one time crept in. And they're here today too. But I want you to catch this right here. Look at this. Many first century false teachers emphasized a secret of God. Such people were called Gnostics, from the Greek word for knowledge. Gnosticism undermined Christianity in several basic ways. Number one, it insisted that important secret knowledge was hidden from most believers. That's number one. Here's a second point. Number two, it taught that the body was evil. And number three, it contended that Christ only seemed to be what? Human, but was not. You see, these false teachers crept in, saints. And while all of them were false teachers that spoke about secret knowledge, Peter wrote of knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You see, my friends, pagan philosophers, they puzzled over godliness and goodness, deciding that these were impossible. But I'm here to let you know it's not. Peter used those words to explain that the one true God's divine power imparts in our being godliness and goodness to those who believe in him. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the philosophers of their day and our day also discussed at length how people can escape decadence in the world instead of sharing the divine divinity belonging to the spiritual world rather than the physical world. Oh yeah, they got all twisted up. They concluded that people had to try to get away from the material world into the spiritual realm by keeping strict laws or refusing any type of pleasure. My friends, Peter used their same language to explain that all their conclusions were incorrect. People, hallelujah, escape decadence and share in the divine nature as God's gift through the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Praise God. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So now, let's move on to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word of God. Praise God. You see, saints, because of God's great gift, their promised destiny, believers must make every effort to apply the benefits that are found in this book, the benefits of these promises to their lives by working toward a standard of high moral living. Praise God. Do you know it's a choice to live holy? It's a choice to live godly? Oh, that's right. I've seen some wonderful saints of God come and go. And yet, their choices weren't biblical. Their choices, contrary to the Word of God. You see, my friends, while Christ gives the power and the divine nature, believers must make use of that power by making every effort to set aside their sinful desires and actively, my friends, seek the qualities Peter described. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's why so throughout the whole Word of God, fornicators, adulterers, you know, whoremongers, all these things that God says, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they refuse to do it God's way. They refuse to surrender their life totally to God. They still got that pride and that stubbornness to them that they're going to do it their way. And they think it's God's way, and it's not. It's not at all. It's their flesh. It's their, I call it stinking thinking. Oh, yeah. But when you do it God's way, look at this. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, that's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Praise God. And so, my friends, as Christians make every effort, they will continue to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are to use God's power and every ounce of determination to produce the 8 characteristics that are mentioned. Praise God. And faith is, of course, the first characteristic. For without it, Christians are no different from the pagans in the world around them. The faith Peter referred to is faith in Christ, faith that brings them into the family of God. And while people might have some of the following characteristics by nature, those are worthless in eternity without being grounded in faith. And that means having faith to believe every word, every jot and tittle in the Word of God. But my friends, Christians were not to stop at their faith alone. Peter knew, like James, that faith without works is dead. Oh, that's right. And the believers had work to do. Their faith was to produce a life of moral excellence. And the word is also translated virtue. Virtue. The Greek word is used only here and also found in Philippians 4:8. Let's look at this for a moment. In Philippians 4:8, look at this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any what? Here's the word. Virtue. And if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Saints, in all cases, it signifies high moral standards that surpass those of pagans. And while uncommon in the New Testament, this world was familiar to the Greek moral philosophy. Oh, that's right, it was. And while the Greek philosophers discussed such excellence at length, Peter once again explained that true goodness could be found only in a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So to their faith, believers were to add lifestyles that mirrored the Lord Jesus Christ. Their motives for such high standards? Yes, the shining moral quality of Christ's life compels you and I to be at our very best. And that life of moral excellence should lead, saints of God, to knowing God better. Praise God. Knowing that knowledge was a word common in the Greek, and it lists many virtues. Thus, Peter included. He included it here with a specifically Christian focus. Knowledge, as used here, refers not to the knowledge of God that leads to salvation. Rather, here, gnosis is that knowledge that leads to wisdom and discernment that enables believers to live godly lives. Praise God. Look what I found in Ephesians. Look at this. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can I get an amen? And that's only going to come when you read God's word and understand it. Praise God. Look what else I found in Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may be abound still more and more in knowledge and all what? Some? No, all discernment. Praise God. Look what else I found in Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and what? And evil. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, we're going to expound our last verse of scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And it reads, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness. We're going to pick up next week as this continues. But knowing, saints of God, that God leads to self-control, a word used only here, and it's also found in Acts 24:25, and also in the fruit of the Spirit. But let's go there right now. Let's look at this. In Acts 24:25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, this was the emperor at the time in Rome. His name was Felix. He was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Who was explaining that the righteousness of self-control and the judgment to come? That was Paul the Apostle when he was incarcerated. And at that time, the Emperor Felix was hearing him out. And he was being convicted. Listen, when you are anointed and you read and speak the word of God, deaf ears will come alive, saints. Oh, yes, they will. They will come alive. You see, self-control refers to mastery over sinful desires in every aspect of life. This was another highly prized virtue for the Greeks. Their focus, of course, was entirely on self-effort. But the problem was that self-effort always fails in the long run. Why? Because it may control the body, but does not affect inward desires. You see, we know that from Romans, that Christians have the Holy Spirit's help to gain what? Self-control. I want you to catch this right now. Look at this. In Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will want live, because we have the power. We have the power to live right. We have the power to live holy, my friends. Saints, the quality of self-control must then lead to patient endurance, the ability to steadfastly endure suffering or evil without giving up one's faith. Can I get an amen? Endurance is not a stoic indifference to whatever fate allows. Rather, it springs from faith in God's goodness, hallelujah, and control over all that which happens to believers' life. And such endurance leads to godliness. And this is another word that is unusual to the New Testament, but common to the Greek. It's part of their ethics. It lists highly on that day in the Greek. You see, my friends, Paul emphasized godliness in the pastoral epistles as being the virtue that should be characterized the life and the conduct of all believers. Oh, that's right. Paul understood this too. This is why he wrote to 1 Timothy. Look at this right here. Now, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. There it is. Godliness. That's living holy, righteous before God. Look at this in 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man, look at this. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Here it is. Godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. We are to pursue those things, my friends. Some of them don't come naturally. Can I get amen? But pursue them. Look at this. In 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Oh, there's some people you have to just cut them loose from your life. That's right. Cut them loose. Let them go. Because they'll pull you into a pool of like a type of cesspool. Oh, that's right. You and I don't want to be around people that all they do is curse and devise wickedness in their heart. Look what else I found in Titus 2:12-13. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope, the blessed hope, saints, and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. And so, saints, godliness was a primary word for the religion and referred to a person's correct attitudes toward God and people, usually referring to performing the duties that were given to them. There's duties for us too. Can I get an amen? But here in 2 Peter, the word describes an awareness of God in all life, a lifestyle that exemplifies Christ and is empowered by Him. You see, my friends, Christians must have a right relationship with God and right relationship with fellow believers. Praise God. Because the false teachers claimed such godliness, but were sadly lacking in reverence toward God and good attitudes toward others. And so, my friends, we all know that we're living in a time of wickedness. We're living in a time of unrighteousness. We're seeing the chaos in the world. We're seeing things collapse. Banks are collapsing. Another bank collapsed yesterday. Things are happening right before us. The armies of the world are mounting up against us. We're about ready to lose the value of our dollar because many of the foreign countries has already abandoned our dollar. It's called the petrodollar. Saints of God, we're living in serious times. But my question is, are you ready to meet the King? Are you prepared? Should the Lord tarry another month or two or a year? Are you prepared to go through this horrific time in our country right now where you can't even buy three steaks for under $90 at a place called Costco? Oh, that's right. Everything's inflated. Matter of fact, the interest rates are going up again. Everything that 3 years ago this nation was humming along, economy was great, but yet morally we were still destroying ourselves. And that's what happened to Rome. Our nation hasn't been around for 1,000 years like Rome. It took a 1,000 years for Rome to finally fall. But what was their demise? If you parallel Rome and the United States, it's very similar. They corrupted themselves from within. And as they were morally being corrupted, God was allowing enemies to mount up to come in and to destroy them. The same could happen to us, no differently. And so, who is our protector? Who is the one to shelter us? Who is the one that will feed us? Who is the one that will still heal us? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And soon and very soon, He's coming to take us home. I'm praying that if you're logged in right now, that you would understand the times that we live in. We're living in some very horrific times. We're seeing things that we thought we would never see. We're seeing our children being castrated right before our eyes. We're seeing violence that we've never seen when we were kids. Mass shootings every day now throughout our country. We're seeing times right now where the majority of this nation is already numb. Nothing shocks them anymore. We've been all assimilated to the times that we live in. There's no more shame, but nothing but indulgence and pleasure and seeking for pleasure. And many have abandoned the faith. My friends, this is a time to draw close to the Lord. Cry out to Him. If you're logged in and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. If that's you, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Truly come into the saving knowledge of God by a heart of repentance, that you would turn from your wicked ways, that you would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would say, God, forgive me for my sins, and then allow Him to cleanse you with His blood. And once you've been cleansed of your sins, He will fill you with this Holy Spirit of promise to take us home when He's ready to take us home. He's going to take us all home. So if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Someone just got saved. Listen, if you have just gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's our banner below. Listen, log on to our website. You'll find our email and our phone number. Reach out to us. What we want to do is congratulate you, give you a Bible, put a Bible in your hand, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would have a safe place to come and hear the Word of God, and that you would grow in your faith. And if you don't live here locally, we'll still send you a Bible. Just reach out to us. I'm very, very excited for those who have already reached out and we sent Bibles to them. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I also want to give a great big shout out to all those who continue to support our ministry. Down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time to say good evening and good night and close out this Bible study. And on behalf of my beautiful wife, Sister Yolanda, and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you this benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, I'm looking forward to seeing you all this Sunday morning. I believe it's Communion Sunday. We're all going to take communion together. I'm excited. And we're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Our service is at 10 a.m. We're going to have beautiful worship, and hopefully God will give us another word of encouragement for Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.